Let's all stand together, please, for the reading of God's word this morning. And this morning we are in the book of Jonah. So the book of Jonah, chapter number 4. So Jonah chapter 4, we will, as our custom is, read responsively. I will read the odd verses, and let's read the even verses together, please. So Jonah chapter number 4. Jonah chapter 4. I will begin reading in verse number 1. And the Bible says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it to grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 80,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? And let's pray. And thank you so much, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the privilege, despite the rain, to gather together here in your house. Thank you for people that are faithful and that made the effort to come through some rain and to be here. And God, we trust that you will meet with us and that you will speak to us through the preaching of your word. Please do that, and might we have open hearts, open ears to hear what the Spirit would speak to us about as a church, as individuals. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
You may be seated. All right, thank you for that. We are in the book of Jonah this morning. This thing is starting to get on my nerves. Jonah chapter number 4. We're in our series just reinforcing and looking at our theme, reaching them and teaching them. And today we're going to look at an unusual story. Many people are like the guy whose friend told him that the two greatest problems in the world are ignorance and apathy. And the guy goes, I don't know, and I don't care. And we're going to look at a man today that is like a lot of Christians, just apathetic. We just really don't care. Jonah took it to a whole nother level. We know the story of Jonah. Chapter 1, God called him to go to the city of Nineveh and preach there. God was bringing judgment on, was going to bring judgment on there. And Jonah disagreed and he went the other direction. He ended up on a ship going to Tarshish. There was a huge storm. The mariners in the boat, instead of when they talked, they found out from Jonah that Jonah was the cause of the storm. Jonah knew that because he was a disobedient believer, which when you're a disobedient believer, you understand these things. And so he told them, he goes, I'm the problem. You throw me overboard. And the mariners, who were very compassionate, tried to row hard and they didn't want to throw him into the water. But when push came to shove and the boat was going to go down, they threw him over. He is swallowed by a great fish. And he is in the belly there of the fish for a few days, and he has a little bit of a revival meeting and prays to God, and God delivers him, and the fish throws him up out on the dry land, and Jonah heads to Nineveh to do his duty. He preaches a very simple message. You know, God's going to judge you. Thanks for coming. No offering needed. We'll see you later. Jonah had a bit of an attitude problem. The Ninevites, surprisingly, all of them repent and get in the sackcloth and the ashes. And God looks at them. And if you look at the last verse of chapter 3, God saw what their change. And God says, I'm not going to judge them because of their change. If Jonah had ended after chapter 3, that would have been a good thing. But Jonah goes on to chapter 4. I would have thought if God added an extra chapter there, it would have been a chapter of rejoicing. Think about it. All these people turn to God. Here is an opportunity. Jonah could have started, you know, setting up synagogues and training the people and working with all these people that were coming to God. Instead, Jonah has a pity party. Jonah had a heart issue. Think of it this way. What would you think if we had a huge outreach day here? Friend Day. And we really pushed Friend Day to a greater extent, and we got thousands of people to come. We hire an evangelist to come in, and he preaches this wonderful gospel message. And 1,000 people get saved. The evangelist goes back to his hotel room and gets mad about it. That's what happened to Jonah. You see, Jonah is the man that did not care. And as we look at chapter 4, I see some issues Jonah had in his life that caused him to be the type of person that did not care. Now, I understand Nineveh was a very wicked city. And Nineveh, particularly for the Jews, the Ninevites were not real kind and compassionate. But they did receive his message and they did turn to the Lord, and Jonah didn't like it. There are things that can happen to us. Our own problems, our own issues, and our own attitudes can keep us from caring and reaching out to others the way that God would want us to. And there's several games I see that Jonah is playing in chapter number 4. And I want to go through a few of them today, because I think if some of us have some of these issues, we too will not care for others that the way that God wants us to and reach out to them. I want you to see, firstly, that Jonah played the blame game. Look at verse 1. It said, now, you know, the last verse of chapter 3, and God saw their works and he repented of the evil that he was going to do, and he didn't do it. Everything was good. Verse 1 of chapter 4, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he was very angry. Now, Jonah's upset about this. He's not happy. Now he's going to assign blame. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this thy saying when I was yet in my country? He's saying, I knew this was going to happen, God, and I told you about that before I ever came. Who is he blaming? He's blaming God, that the city turned to God. But he's playing a blame game. It's not, I am angry, but it's not my fault. You did not react and do things the way I wanted you to. That must have been a very bad message. But God worked in that message. Yet, what was it, 40 days, Nineveh's going to be wiped out. That's what Jonah wanted. He wasn't as much relaying a message as much as telling them what he wanted to happen, in a sense. And then he blames God because of his bad attitude. You ever notice when someone has a bad attitude, it's always somebody else's fault? Let me say this. You cannot control what others do, what others say, and how others act. You can only control how you respond. A friend in Bible college taught me a lesson. I won't go into the story. Somebody was doing something to try to get him in trouble at work, and I told her, man, don't you get upset? Don't you want to find out who's doing that and kind of in the Lord? Give him a right hook. And I was just messing around. And he said, Steve, I decided a long time ago I am not going to let anybody determine my attitude. And I'm like, that's good. But we do it all the time. And not so much we're allowing them to determine our attitude, we're allowing ourselves the attitude because we can blame someone else for it. Do you play the blame game? What's the problem? The problem is it creates bitterness. Bitterness. Bitterness makes you a useless vessel to help others. Because when you say, I'm just bitter with that person right there. It's nobody else. Bitterness doesn't work that way. Bitterness spreads. There is no way I can have a problem with an individual and get bitter at them for anything they've done and not have it affect other relationships in my life. If I was bitter at Brother Bichardo over something, and I'm a good Christian, so I let it go. But if I was bitter at him, and I'm like, it's just Brother Bichardo. No, that's an attitude. And it festers in you like some type of sword, some type of disease, and it boils up, and your attitude starts to spread. You ever met somebody that's like, that person is just bitter? I wasn't thinking of you, Raul, but since you brought it up. You can usually trace it back to where it began with one person. You know, my family, something happened in my family when I was younger. A relative, a friend, a situation, and in worst case scenario, God did not respond the way I wanted him to respond. Ultimately, it's his fault. Hey, let's not play the blame game. Blame will be bitterness before you know it. And you'll never get over your issues if you blame other people, and you'll never be able to help somebody if you don't get over your issues. Take responsibility, grow through it with God's grace, and get on with your life. The blame game. Number two. I'm going a little fast. There's eight of them. The justification game. So he was angry. It's because God's fault. I told you it was going to happen. Verse 2. Therefore, I fled to Tarshish. I'm justified in what I did. That's why I went. Because somebody else's fault. And so I feel justified in what I did. By the way, you saw that in his message. He told the Ninevites about the coming judgment, but didn't tell them about God's forgiveness. He didn't say, look, you know, when we talk about God's judgment, we're not talking about God's judgment because we're happy about it. Talking about God's judgment so we can flip around and say, God's provided a way of escape. I've heard some people preach like they're happy. You know? Listen, I don't want anybody to go to hell. And anybody, look, we've been going through Revelation. We'll go through it again tonight. It's not good. Judgment's coming. Well, this world deserves it. And I agree 100%, and God agrees 100%, but he's given us a space now to reach out to them. Let's do it. Yep. Let's do it. We're never justified in our actions. Because he disagreed, he felt justified. Over the years, as I've met with people and had to counsel over the years, it's just amazing how many people will make bad decisions and mess up their life, and when you talk to them, they felt justified for their bad decision because of something somebody else did. Not realizing they're the one that pays the price, not somebody else. Don't justify your actions. It's so hard. You talk to kids. Hey, did you do that? Johnny? They never answer the question, do they? Because it's somebody else's fault. And I'm justified in what I do. Third, I don't even get this. He played the illogical game. He had a warped logic in his thinking. I went to Nineveh, verse 2. Now, understand what he's doing. He's not arguing from the pro side. He's arguing from the negative side. Listen. For I knew. He's angry about this, by the way. Think with me. He's not saying, I know God's gracious. Because I knew you're a gracious God. and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth thee of the evil. That's why I did it, God. That's why I'm mad. There's a lot of things to get upset about. I don't think any of these are them. You're going to sit here and get upset with God because he's gracious? Because he's merciful? Because he's kind? That makes no sense. That is 100%. So he was upset with God's grace. God's grace is God giving me that which I don't deserve. He was upset with God's mercy. God not giving me what I do deserve. He was upset with God's patience. God giving me space and time I don't deserve. He was upset with God's kindness. God treating me in a way I don't deserve. And he was upset with God's second chances. God not treating me in a way that I really do deserve. Why? He was thinking illogically. Whenever you get in anger, whenever you get in blaming, whenever you start justifying what you do, you're just not making much sense. Have you ever talked to somebody and no matter what you tell them, I mean, you could tell them and it's like, you know, 2 + 2 = 4. No, it isn't. And it's like there's nothing you can say to change their mind. And it's like, this just makes sense. I don't see it. You're seeing it through their emotions. They're being illogical. But that's what happens. When we're not right with God, and when we're not right with God, we cannot be of service to others. Now, before we move on, I'm pretty sure he didn't feel about this way about God's grace, mercy, and kindness when he was in the belly of the whale. I'm pretty sure he didn't feel that way. When he had his little revival prayer meeting, he wasn't getting on God for second chances. In fact, he got one. It's amazing how condemning we are towards others about something that we will allow in our own life. Or we don't want somebody else to experience something that we've been able to experience in our life. It's illogical. Illogical. Then he was next irrational. Now he says this in verse 3. Now, therefore, now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. For it is better for me to die than to live. Now, I don't get it. So because the city turned to God, you want God to kill you now. By the way, if he had really wanted to die, all he had to do was stay in the belly of the whale, of the fish. It would have happened. So it's irrational. Motions are out of control. We think and sometimes say things that we don't really believe. How many of you have ever said that? You know what they call that when you say something in a fit of emotion that you don't really believe? You know what they call that? Well, it's called being a woman. But you know what they say? Your wife can tell you she loves you, and she can tell you she hates you in the same sentence, and she meant it both times. Okay, I'm not gonna ask for a show of hands. Thank you. But irrational, emotional. It doesn't make sense. But you know, be careful how you pray. Remember the Israelites? Kill us in the desert. By the way, God answered that prayer. Be careful what you pray. Okay? Just doesn't make any emotional sense. Let me say this: people quit. And people do the wrong things when they're emotional. They do. I've seen people over the years, not a lot, but they'll get emotional about something they shouldn't get emotional about, and they'll quit the church. They'll quit their families. They'll quit their jobs. They'll quit. They're not thinking it through. Let's not be irrational. Let's not be irrational. Sometimes it doesn't hurt just to step back, give it some space, and let things play out, right? In our Sunday school class, we're going through the fruit of the Spirit. Today's we start on long suffering. I don't like those type. How many of you are not like that? I ain't got time for long suffering. I haven't got time for patience. Give me joy, love, and peace, and let's move on. Okay? But you don't have that choice. Let's just step back. Never make a decision. Be careful about saying something in the heat of the moment. Too many things have been said and arguments in the heat of the moment that weren't meant, but you can't take it back. Once you said it, it's out there. Well, I'll just apologize later. Too late, it lodges in the mind. Don't say it in the first place.
Amen.
Irrational. Then he plays the avoidance game. Verse 4. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? By the way, there was no answer given. What was the correct answer there? No. He didn't give an answer. Should have given an answer. But you know what happens? We avoid questions that are penetrating because we know the answer and we just don't want to give it and we want to continue down our own path. Sometimes questions are a good thing, but we don't like it. We ever go out soul winning, you'll talk to, hey, know for sure if you die, you go to heaven. They just don't want to hear it. Thinking that if they avoid the question, they can get away with the consequences. Okay? Let's be open to what God is telling us here. We can't avoid it. When someone doesn't want the right answers, they can't even answer the right questions. Hey, did you do that? I was outside playing, and, you know, John and I were on the swing. I didn't ask you for outside. But, well, yes, no. You know, politician. Answer the question. You know, it's a simple question. Answer it. I'm not trying to be political here, but sometimes it slips in. They were asking one of these nutcases that wants the taxes to be 70% and all this, and they all, you know, free college for everybody. By the way, free college for everybody would cost more than this country could come up with if we gave every penny we had, by the way. So anyhow, and just said, where's the money going to come from? No answer. Oh, you know, someone said, like, where's the answer? It was a pretty simple question. You know why they don't give the answer? They don't like the question. We do that, don't we? We'll read something in the Bible and it penetrates us. And we're like, let's just move on to the next verse. Where's Jesus love me? Okay? Sometimes we don't need Jesus loves me. We need Jesus wants to know, what are you doing?
Come on.
Or we have the wrong answer, so we don't answer the right question. Let's not avoid things. Too many of us put stuff off. God deals with us. And these are things God's like saying, look, you need to clean this up or you'll never be of use to anybody. And we just try to push it off to the side. We know what we should do, but it's like, let's avoid it for right now. Don't avoid it. Do it. Jump in. Do right. Avoidance. Next, he played the selfish game. Look at verse 5. Jonah has this little diatribe with God. He's upset. There's no solution. He moves on with his life. Verse 5. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under the booth. Now, sat under the shadow. Now listen to this. Till he might see what would become of the city. Now, wait a minute. You know what he was doing? Maybe there's still a chance God's going to rain fire and brimstone. Let me wait here and see. That's what he was doing. God, he's still like, maybe they'll still get it. I'm going to wait and check this out. By the way, if Jonah was an event, he's not preaching at our youth conference. Okay? He's not coming on a Thursday night. We ain't having him. No love offering. Okay, I might pray for him. He still wanted what he wanted. Now think about it. He has this diatribe with God. He's talking back and forth with God, and he says, I'm going to go to the city and see if you know. God just told him, look, do this. I still want my way.
Yeah.
Now, it's one thing to be stubborn and want your way, but when God is directly talking to you, wow. That's why it never shocks me what people do. Honestly, it doesn't. People in the Bible are like us. So I'm surprised someone would do that. Man, where have you been? Okay? Deal with church people for a while. You'll figure that one out. We don't have people like that in our church, though. The selfish game. He wanted his way. The whole story of Jonah is an illustration of an immature, self-directed, unhappy individual. And when you're like that, you'll be ineffective and unmotivated to help other people. You just will. You want your way in life. Doesn't matter if it's right. It doesn't matter if what it does to other people. I have seen people destroy their families, destroy their friends, cause issues in the church, simply because they just wanted their own way. And there's nothing you could do to change them. I've said joking about some people, like, look, if Jesus came to that guy's room tonight and told him what to do, he wouldn't do it. Don't get there. Next, he plays the stubborn game. Look at verse 6. Now this little plant, it's hot out there. So Jonah makes a little booth, and God allows this plant to grow. And the plant of the leaves are huge, and it helps to block the sun. And Jonah is excited about it. And then the next day, God has a little worm kill it. And Jonah throws a fit because the plant died. Now, he was okay with a city of 120,000 dying. But he got upset because a plant died. Verse 9, and God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? He finally answers. He didn't answer last time, but he gives the wrong answer this time. You ready? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Honestly, I'm not for getting aerosol cans and ruining the environment and cutting down trees and killing dogs. I'm not. But are you serious? There are more, you know, you could get in trouble for hurting a dog and puppies, but you can now kill a baby that's born alive. If it hurts the mother's emotional. By the way, the governor of Virginia got caught saying that on television. The little whatever that woman was, I'm going to call her a woman, that brought up that whole thing. Now Rhode Island is trying. We're trying to kill our kids. God help us. We're in a world of hurt people. When I read Revelation, I get it. Now once one state does it, and now all the states are going to jump on board. And let me just tell you something. In our horrific, horrible state of California, don't be surprised. It'll be next. And it'll pass without a breeze because we keep voting in the wrong individuals who hate God and hate common sense. There. I like that. Well, I don't like babies being killed. But you touch an animal, you'll go to jail. Hey, what is wrong with us? We're out of control. We're out of control. Well, you know, the baby's not a baby the first 3 months. Well, now, do you get it? Evil people don't stop. Then it's 4, 5, 6, 7. Now it's up until right before they come out of the womb. And even then, what is wrong with us? So what does that have to do with the message? I don't know. I'm upset about it. I thought I'd share it. Someone needs to say something. By the way, if you were, man, I had an abortion when I was unsaved. I'm not getting on you. You know better now. But it's permeating our society. Hey, if Christians are quiet, who's going to say something? Where was I at? I don't know. I'm mad now. Oh, he's stubborn. He liked the plant more than the people. But we just won't give it up. I mean, that was a little illustration God was trying to show him, that all those things in his life were out of order, and he still didn't get it. It's almost like he doubled down. God just keeps trying to prompt him, and he doubles down on it like, no. Yes, I have a right to be angry for the plant, even unto death. Stubborn. We get so stubborn in our life. We get so stubborn in all the things that are going on in our life. Makes us worthless when it comes to serving him. Lastly, the priority game. We kind of mentioned it. Verse 10. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And shouldest not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000, 120,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle. You know what he's saying? He's saying, Jonah, snap out of it, cowboy. You are really messed up. Yep. Okay? Let's get back to reality here. These people are important, and your priorities are so messed up because of all these games you're playing, you don't even care. That's sad. That he would care more about a plant than he would about people. And not so much the plant, he was just out of it. His priorities. Do you really care about other people? Now, I thank God. I don't think we have Jonas in our church. I don't think we have somebody that would get up and say, hey, we had six people that trusted Christ out on Tuesday night that you would say, that makes me mad. We don't have anybody like that. But what are you playing some of these games or allowing some of these games into your life? And it's making you useless and messing up your priorities so that you are not helping anybody. That's the biggest thing. I wish that there was a Jonah chapter 5 or a Jonah chapter, whatever the last verse was. What's the last verse? 12. That says, and Jonah repented. And Jonah ran down there and shared the word of the Lord. Nope, we don't know. Don't know. In Scripture. Maybe he did. God didn't feel led to tell us. The point of the story is, God, think of this and we're done. How much did God want to reach those people that he used Jonah? Are you serious? That's like God saying, you know what? I want to reach San Francisco. Let me send someone to start a church in San Francisco who hates people. That makes no sense. But God used this guy. How much does God want to reach people? How much does God want to share his grace? And yet, if we're not careful, we let all these things happen, our priorities are messed up, and we don't get involved. Let's get involved, people. You say, but I have things going on in my life. You know what? God works in your life so that you can work in others' lives. You can do this two at the same time. But let's have the right spirit and the right attitude this morning. Let's stand together.